really a schus to be able to participate with such an amazing group and such an amazing undertaking and such an amazing group of people. I think it was well said, and it need not be said, that we are very, very concerned about our existence on so many different levels, with so many different worries and problems and challenges. We went through the past 8 months of something which, from the ultimate tragedy to tremendous anxiety for everyone, we've been through a lot. Certainly we end up very confused. On the political scene, the confusion is rampant. The question of security and the future of lives, of our lives in this country, looms very, very heavily on the minds and the hearts and the nervous system of all of us. And I think that we have to focus a little bit on a few thoughts which hopefully, can put it in a little bit of perspective and maybe give us the strength to face the future with a greater sense of courage and a greater sense of bitochen in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We find in the Torah an encounter between Yaakov Avinu and his brother Esav. Yaakov was coming back to Eretz Yisrael. His brother is coming out to greet him with an army of 400 men, and it certainly wasn't planned or anticipated to be a loving experience. The hatred that was there, that Esav had, was known, well known to Yaakov. That's the reason that he fled his father's house in the first place. And the Torah tells us, Vayiro Yaakov. Yaakov was afraid. And Rashi explains that even though he had a haftocha, he had a promise from Hashem that he would be protected from Esav, but he was afraid, maybe he was no longer worthy of that promise, and therefore he does have what to be afraid of. And the question that is asked on that is, okay, the promise is nullified because maybe you're no longer worthy. But why couldn't he have bitochen in Hashem, as we're expected to do, under any difficult, trying, and dangerous situation? And that certainly should have been, for Yaakov Avinu, his approach. Esav is coming. Yes, it's threatening. He has 400 soldiers. I do not necessarily have the promise, because I may have lost the worthiness for that. But I have bitochen in Hashem. Hashem is full of chesed, of kindness, of rachamim, of mercy. And I should rely on him that he's going to protect me. And the Mari Kroh, one of the great Meforshei HaTanach, HaChumish HaTanach, says as follows. He says, Yaakov Avinu forced himself to be afraid. He looked at Esav. He looked at the merit that Esav had. He questioned his own merit that he'd been missing from his parents for so many years and not being able to perform kiburav properly. And he induced a fear of Esav, so he could rise above it with true bitochen. And he gives a very interesting moshel. He says, what's a baltstoker? A baltstoker is not one whose money doesn't mean anything to him. He loves his money, but he gives it away anyway. He says, what's a Baal Bitochen? A Baal Bitochen is not a person who is impervious to the fear, who's unaware of the danger, who doesn't have anything to be afraid about. He's deeply worried and concerned and fearful of the situation in which he finds himself. But because of that, he manages to rise above to true Bitochen. If he didn't focus on the fear, if he didn't have what to be afraid of, he wouldn't be a Baal Bitochen. He has no problem. But when he focuses on the extent and the depth of the problem, and then he works on himself to focus on the chesed Hashem, the kindness and mercy of Hashem, and rise above it, that is true bitochon, and that was truly the level that he wanted to achieve in his encounter with Esav. The Brisker Rav has a very interesting moshel. He says a person is walking along the street, and someone behind him is with a gun ready to shoot. If he doesn't know that the person is behind him, he's not a Baal Bitochen. He doesn't have Bitochen. He doesn't have a problem. He's not trusting Hashem. He has no problem. But when he knows that the gun is there and it's ready to shoot, and still he is calm with peace of mind, with trust in Hashem, that nothing is going to happen, that is true Bitochen. I would like to suggest that although the challenges of the past year and the present challenges which we face, which are serious, very concerning, very extensive, but they also provide for us an opportunity. They provide for us an opportunity to soar to true bitochen in Hashem. When a person has loads of money in the bank, he's not really relying on Hashem for his parnosa. When a person is destitute, that's when he has the opportunity to truly turn to Hashem. Truly turn to Hashem in heartfelt tefillah, because the need is great, and truly rise above that need and that lack with a true measure of trust in Hashem, so that that trust is real, it's deep, it's true, it's heartfelt, it's born of the desperation of the situation, which catapults him into this trusting and loving relationship with Hashem. And that's really an opportunity that we have now. So I think that on one level, as painful as it is, as worrisome as it is, as afraid as we may be, we could use it as an opportunity to strengthen our trust in Hashem. And when we strengthen our trust in Hashem, the most amazing things take place. Our Chazal tell us that HaKadosh Baruch Hu does not ever wish to disappoint the Baal Bitochen. David HaMelech said, Elokai b'cho botachti alei v'isho. Hashem, I put my trust in you. Don't let me be embarrassed. If I trusted you, and you don't deliver on that trust, it's so embarrassing. And when we have that trust in Hashem, Hashem doesn't want to embarrass us. Hashem doesn't want to disappoint us. The Meiri's Loshen is, HaBoteach BaHashem Ein Toicheles Shaloi Nichzavo. One who puts his trust in Hashem, the hope that he has, the awaiting for help that he's waiting, will not be disappointed. Hashem responds to those who put bitochen in Hashem. And unfortunately, and fortunately on one level, but unfortunately in the realm of bitochen, when things are going well, when there's nothing to be concerned about, when everything seems to be just beautiful, when we have everything that we need, and we're not concerned about any pandemics or any political upheavals or any dangerous mobs or mob scenes or looting or anything, demonstrations, then we really are not worried about anything, and we don't really have that bitochen. So I think that we should recognize that we have an opportunity now to scale new heights in our connection with Hashem, to scale new heights in our bitochen in Hashem, and therefore to bring about resolution to problems, not only the immediate problems that have brought us to this point, but even all of our problems. Because we know the Chofetz Chaim brings from the Arizal, when we say in the Shmoneh Esrei, Ki Lishuoscho Kivinu Kol Hayoim, we have hoped for your salvation all day long. And he says, when a person thinks about that, and he realizes that he's constantly hoping to Hashem, he's constantly focused on Hashem, he's constantly counting on Hashem, then that is a schus that can help him in every aspect of his existence and can even bring about the Yeshua es tzemach dovid abducho meheiro satzmiach. Because ki lishuoscho kivino kol hayoyim. So this really provides a very, very special opportunity. But the problem is that there's a fine line between an opportunity or an impetus to put our trust in Hashem and becoming so overwhelmed with the problems, so fearful with the problems, so paralyzed by the problems, that it just stops us from having any bitochon, from having any feeling, from being able even to focus on turning to Hashem, because we're so down, we're so out, we're so broken, we so are crying for help that we can't even cry. That's a fine line between being shaken up enough to be able to truly turn to Hashem with real feeling, with real trust, with real reliance, and becoming so overwhelmed that we just fall apart and we're broken. And many people, it sounds like, and I believe so, feel that way today. And for that, and to that, we have to address going back to basics. And the basics, of course, are that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world. He's in control of the world. He created the world only, as David HaMelech said in Tehillim, Olam Chesed Yibone, only to do chesed, to bestow chesed, kindness upon the world. And in order to be able to do this chesed, he gave us directives. He gave us a way to live so that we should become worthy of that chesed and truly take ownership of the chesed and appreciate all of the good that he gives us. At Har Sinai, he revealed himself publicly. And what a public revelation it was. In front of millions of eyewitnesses, he identified himself as the perpetrator of all of the miracles that took place in Mitzrayim. Every miracle, the makos and all the individual ashkocha protis that were not only for the klal, but even for each and every individual in Mitzrayim. They got to know Hashem through his actions, through his chesed, through his ashkocha protis. And then he brought them to Har Sinai. And he said, Onoicha Hashem Elokecho, Shalom Aleichem, publicly in front of millions of eyewitnesses, I am the one that did all those miracles in Mitzrayim. Now I'm going to tell you the purpose. Now I'm going to reveal to you the directives for life that you should have in order to follow the proper path to achieve human perfection, to achieve the purpose of creation, and to enable me to bestow upon you endless kindness, endless chesed, endless rachamim, endless reward, endless benefit. And this is where we come from. This encounter was written down in the Sefer Torah and passed down faithfully from generation to generation to this very day without change. Eyewitness testimony, and we are the beneficiaries of that testimony. And included in those teachings that were passed down is the concept and the power of prayer, of tefillah, heartfelt tefillah, ul'ovdu b'chol levavchem, and of something that tefillah leads to, which goes even beyond the tefillah, and that's the bitochon. You know, there are times the Or HaChaim HaKodesh tells us, even when tefillah is not able to help us, when Moshe Rabbeinu was leading Klal Yisrael out of Mitzrayim, Paro was following after them, behind them. In front of them was a Yam Suf, a sea raging, which made it impossible to go further. Wild animals surrounding them on both sides. Moshe Rabbeinu calls out to Hashem, and Hashem answers him, Vayomer Hashem al Moshe, Ma titzak elai? What are you calling out to me? Dabar el b'nei Yisrael v'yiso. Speak to them, let them go into the Yam. And the Or HaChaim asked the question, why are you calling to me? To whom should I call out? Of course, we call to Hashem in a time of Tzorah. And the Or HaChaim asks something very interesting. He says, because of what they had engaged in Mitzrayim, the Zorah, whatever, the Sotan had the ability to interfere with their tefillos. But there is one koyach that the Sotan himself can't interfere with. There's one koyach that cannot be interfered with. And that's the koyach of Emunah Bitochin. Daber el b'nei Yisrael v'yiso, let them go into the raging sea and show their trust in me, show their faith in me, show their Emunah, show their Bitochin. And that will do everything for them. And sure enough, they went in and the sea split. And the greatest of all the miracles of Mitzrayim took place right in front of their eyes. Ad sheroso shivcho mashaloi roi yechezko b'nevuosoi. The lowliest maidservant saw more of Hashem and His greatness than Yechezkel Hanovi saw in all of His prophecies. And they ended up, vayaminu b'Hashem uv'moshe avdoi. So this is where we come from. We come from this glorious tradition. We come with the secret of the power of Bitochin. When we know, and Bitochin works like this, we know everything is in the hands of Hashem. We know Hashem controls everything. There's nothing that He can't do. There's no danger that's too great for Him. And we know of His chesed, and His rachamim, His kindness, His mercy, His love for Klal Yisrael, His love for each and every one of us, the purpose of His creation only being to do chesed. And we bring that awareness to bring our hearts to rely on Him. He's all-powerful, He's all-capable, He cares so much, He loves so much. He created the world only for the purpose of chesed. He gets involved in every minute detail of our lives as He did in Mitzrayim. So we are going to be able now to parlay the belief, the emunah that we have, the knowledge that we have of Hashem's power and His caring and His love and His mercy. And it's going to lead us to internalize it emotionally. And you know something? I'm trusting Hashem. I'm relying on Him. There's no reason in the world. He cares and He's capable. He can do everything and He wants to do everything. He loves me and He gets involved with every detail of my life. And therefore, I must rely on Hashem. Now, the truth of the matter is that there are many levels of reliance in Hashem. The simplest level is, I just know everything's in His hand. And whatever happens, it's all from Him. That in itself brings a certain amount of peace of mind. There's a pandemic. There's an election. There are threats to the security of our lives. But Hashem controls everything. Leiv sorim u'malochim b'yad Hashem. The heart of leaders, of kings and leaders, is also in the hands of Hashem. There's nothing that anybody can do. No one has any power. No one has any control. Totally helpless. It's only Hashem. And He controls everything. And then we parlay that into a sense of, and therefore I'm relying on Him. Now, the first step is to know that nothing happens by accident. The next step is, you know, I really can't be sure that He's going to help me, but I refuse to give up hope. I refuse to give up hope. I'm not positive of the results, but I will never give up hope. I will never be meyayish. I will never despair. I have a book someplace in my house entitled, Despair is Not a Jewish Word. And that in itself is a schus that entitles me to be helped from Hashem. That's the way the Avrom Ramoch in his Sefer on Tehillim says on that in Perek Chofei in Tehillim, Elokai b'cho b'tachti alei v'isho, I trusted you, I shouldn't be embarrassed. The second Pasuk says, Gam kol koivecho lo ye v'isho. Even those who just hope, they're not trusting, they're not sure, they're not positive about the positive outcome. But they will never give up hope. They also will not be embarrassed. Because hope is a level of trust. It may not be the highest level, but it's secure enough. Hashem won't let me down. And sometimes from that hope, it leads me to a greater level of security. I'm confident. I know. I just know it. Something in my heart just tells me that Hashem's not going to let me down. It's just a feeling I have. I'm so aware of His capabilities. I'm so aware of His chesed. I'm so aware of His rachamim. I'm so aware of His involvement in my life. I'm so aware of His love for every member of Klal Yisrael. So, I just, something just tells me it's like a voice from within that announces everything's going to be all right. And that has a power. And in case we're concerned that, well, I don't know if I can really have that to the fullest degree, and I could say it and I could try to feel it, but I may be far removed from the reality of it. The Chofetz Chaim, in a letter in Machne Yisrael, in a letter to the soldiers, the Jewish soldiers in the army, writes as follows, and I quote, "Kifi goydel habitochin, kach goydel ha'atzlocha." According to the greatness, the magnitude of one's trust, it's to that degree that he will have success. In other words, it's not all or nothing. I don't have to be on the highest level of bitochin that I am 100% sure that everything is going to work out. No, I'm hoping, I'm trusting, I'm trying. I'm not all there, but you know something? I'm partially there. And if I'm partially there, the Chofetz Chaim promises us, according to the level of bitochin that I have mustered, it's to that degree that I bring about resolution. And the truth of the matter is, the very word bitochin, trust in Hashem, Rashi defines in Parshas Bahar as Sheloi Tidagu, there'll be no worry. Peace of mind. Bitochon, security, botuach. That really means nothing to worry about. And we have nothing to worry about. We have nothing to worry about. And to the degree that we recognize that we have nothing to worry about, it's to that degree that Hashem actually actualizes that feeling, and we have nothing to worry about. And that's really what these challenges that we face now are really providing for us. They're providing unique opportunities. Opportunities to truly turn and truly grow in our emunah, in our bitochon, in our closeness to Hashem. And through that process, to bring about even greater things. I'd like to mention a few other points. Number one, you know, sometimes we wonder, why do we have to go through all these difficulties? And some of them have been very, very painful and even tragic. Why, as a klal, as a nation, do we have to go through so many of the difficulties that we go through? There's a very interesting comment in the Haggadah of the Tosfos Rid, was one of the great Rishonim, on the words of the Haggadah, Metchila Oivdei Avodah Zorah Hoy Avoseinu, that we stem from Terach, who was an idol worshipper. He asks a very interesting question. He says, we thank Hashem for taking us out of Mitzrayim. If He wouldn't have put us in, He wouldn't have to take us out. Marash, what are we all excited about? Oh, Hallel, we say, thank you for taking us out of Mitzrayim. He put us there. Good question. So he says as follows, we stem from Terach, from idol worshippers. As such, we could never have earned all of the privileges that Hashem wanted to grant us. All the mitzvahs and Kabbalas HaTorah and everything that Hashem wanted to grant Klal Yisrael, we could not have deserved. We have some genetic pgam based on the Avodah Zorah that's in our genes, that's in our heritage from Terach, the father of Avram Avinu. And he says, therefore, Hashem put us in Mitzrayim, and He made us go through challenges, difficult, difficult challenges. V'chas aleinu, and He had rachmonis on us. And berachamim, He was able to grant us with rachamim to entitle us to things, Torah, mitzvahs, Maimon Har Sinai, that we never could have earned, we never could have deserved. Many times Hashem puts us through trying situations. And the reason that He does that is because He really wishes to give us beyond what we could ever deserve. He sees a generation, or He sees individuals where, according to where they're holding, they can't deserve all of the chesed, all of the kindness, all of the reward, all of the goodness that He wishes to bestow upon them. So He gives them challenges. And they feel the pain of the challenges. And then he has rachmonis, he has mercy on that pain. And in a sort of an entitlement formula, we become entitled to those things that we really didn't earn. So we have to look at the challenges of life from the perspective of Hashem as very, very, very possibly being plans to grant us so much more. We have to look at the coming days and weeks and months, the year that's in front of us, and years beyond, as years of such opportunity, of such yeshuos, of such hatova, of such good from Hashem. Why? Because he put us through so much, and he may very well want to give us far more than we ever earned, than we ever could have earned, with rachamim, with an entitlement. You know, people that suffer, they feel they're entitled. There's such a feeling, like I suffered so much. Well, Hashem responds to that feeling. You suffered so much. I put you through so much suffering. Now I want to be able to grant you beyond what you ever could have earned, beyond what you ever could have deserved. I think that gives a certain positive perspective, at least, not to look for tzaras, but at least to be able to cope with tzaras. You know, on a personal level, I spent many years in the Los Angeles community in the San Fernando Valley. And we came there, it was certainly not, I'm talking decades ago, it was not the Mokum Torah that it is today, by far. And things were pretty difficult, and Parnosa, we were making a yeshiva there, was very, very tight. And it was a summer night, and my oldest daughter was about 8 years old, I think. She wanted to, I should give her 75 cents to be able, she's going on a trip with her day camp tomorrow, to be able to buy a soda or whatever. And I said to her, I don't have 75 cents. And I didn't. She says, what should I do? So I said, you should say Tehillim. You know, Hashem responds to our tefillas. She wasn't too excited about that suggestion. But she sat down with her younger sister, and they're saying Tehillim. And then all of a sudden she says, I don't get it. I'm leaving tomorrow morning at 7:30 in the morning. It's 10:30 at night. I need the money. You don't have the money. What's this going to help? The little kid says, well, maybe somebody will give you, maybe something will happen. I don't know, whatever. She goes to camp, and she comes back with the following story. At the Purim Carnival, that must have been 4 months before, this was the middle of the summer, a friend of hers had borrowed 75 cents. They forgot about it. They never discussed it. She woke up that morning, this friend, and remembered that she owes the Cohen girl 75 cents from 4 months ago, never discussed, all of a sudden. And she brought it to camp, and she paid her, and she had her 75 cents. My children were so nourished from this episode. Hashem listens to our tefillas. The tilim that we say is very, very effective. And Hashem gets involved in our lives even for a mere 75 cents. And look what he does. I'm here saying Tehillim, wondering how it's going to help, what could happen. He puts a thought in my friend from months ago that she borrowed and we all forgot about it. And now she brings to the camp and Hashem responds to my tefillah. And this served as such a basis for their development of emunah and bitochon. Hashem is involved in our lives. Hashem is all-powerful. Hashem can make the most unlikely happen precisely and precisionly, exactly the way it has to unfold. And he responds to our tefillas. And he responds to us when we turn to him. And we've had so many of these situations, each one of us, in our personal life. But if we wish to develop bitochon, we have to review them. We have to build on them. We have to focus our minds, our emunah, our knowledge that we have, and the feeling in our hearts that I know Hashem is not going to let me down. The Vilna Goin gives us an Eitzah, and he says, he bases it on what we say in the Nishmas Adheinu Azarunu Rachamecho V'lo Yazavunu Chasodecho V'al Titshenu Hashem Elokeinu L'Netzach. He says, Adheinu, until now, you helped me only because of chesed, not because I deserved it. And you only didn't forsake me only because of chesed. or rachamim, not because I deserved it. And therefore, we trust that you will never let us down. And he continues and says, if what you did for me until now was because I deserved it, maybe I don't deserve it anymore. But if a person focuses on the fact that Hashem has done so much kindness to me, to my family, to Klal Yisrael, and we were not necessarily deserving, if that's the case, then he'll continue to do it, even though we're not deserving now. If we were deserving, we got it because we deserved it. Maybe today I don't deserve it. But if it's just indiscriminate chesed, Hashem just does chesed. He helps Klal Yisrael. That's what he does. The Mela, we can continue to be sure that he will continue to do so in the future, because it isn't dependent upon anything I do. It's purely the response of Hashem's chesed. And I think that our goal has to be to strengthen those realizations, to work on ourselves, to constantly think about the chesed Hashem, to say the brochas that we say every day, the birchas hanenin, the birchas hashachar, all describe, underscore how Hashem does for us, what he does for us, everything he does for us. His chesed is endless, and it does not depend upon whether we're worthy. Everyone knows the Chazal, the Pasuk says, Rabbi Machivim LaRosho, Vabitech Bashem Chesed Yisoyvavenu. Great are the pains of an evil person. One who puts his trust in Hashem will be surrounded by Chesed. And Chazal say, Afilu Rosho Ubotech Bashem Chesed Yisoyvavenu. Even a person who's a Rosho, he's not worthy of Hashem's kindness. If he puts his trust in Hashem, he will be surrounded by kindness. A person does not have to be worthy of the kindness. He only has to be reliant on Hashem for that kindness. And I think in times like this, we have a unique opportunity to internalize this chesed, to internalize Hashem's rachamim, to internalize the midah of bitochin, and to develop that true menuchas hanefesh, and that sense of confidence in the future. Because the challenges are so great that we must turn to Hashem. We can't rely on the natural situation. It ain't working. It's not happening. It's too precarious. And when we turn to Hashem, Hashem responds in so many ways far beyond anything that we could have had or anything that we could have anticipated in the endless, endless chesed that he grants us. And therefore, we have to take advantage of every opportunity. You know, the Sefer Tilim is the textbook of bitochen. Practically every single chapter is referencing David HaMelech's bitochen b'Hashem under the most difficult situations. In the very early in Tilim, in Kapitel Yud Gimel, where David HaMelech says, Elokai b'cho botachti alei v'isho, ha'iro einai peni shana moves. He was being pursued by his enemies. He was afraid he would die. And at the end, he says and gives us the formula for bitochen. V'ani b'chastecho botachti. I trusted in your chesed. He doesn't say, I trusted that you're going to save me. No, I trusted in your chesed. What does that mean? I focused on your chesed. I see your chesed in the world. I see the chesed with which you created the world. I see the chesed with which you conduct the world. And because I have such trust that you are so mole chesed, Yogel Libi Bishuasecha, the Vilna Goyen explains, I just know my heart will rejoice in the salvation. Something within me just announces the Yeshua is going to come. Because of the intensity of my realization of your chesed in everything in this world, and something within me just tells me the Yeshua is going to come. And of course, then he promises one more thing. Or Shira Hashem ki gomal olai. I will sing praises of Hashem, I will sing Shira, after he actually delivers. And I'd like to share with you just one closing thought. It's brought in the Kaf HaChaim from Rabbi Yehuda HaChosid that there's a very special skula that when a person has a tzora, and do we have tzoras today, when that tzora will be alleviated, he should accept upon himself that when the tzora will be alleviated, he will say nishmas in front of a minyan, without the broch at the end, but just until the end. Harbei nitzolu derech zeh. Many people were saved this way, with a kabbalah to say nishmas at the end of the tzora. Something that we should all seriously consider when these tzoras will be resolved, whatever the personal tzoras or the communal tzoras or the national tzoras or the global tzoras, when they will be resolved, or at some point where we will consider a Yeshua has taken place, we will recite nishmas in front of a minyan or together with a minyan. Many, many people have been saved by such a kabbalah. And I'd like to share with you a little story. Pre-Sandy, we had plans to build a big building for our yeshiva. And in order to do that, I knew that I might have to borrow a construction loan from the bank. That construction loan is very hard to pay back because the bank won't grant it because you're renting, so your rent money can't go towards the mortgage. You need to show a profit in your financial statements in order to be able to qualify for the loan. So I was very careful, made great efforts at the end of our fiscal year, which was August 31st, to try to make sure that we showed a significant profit each year, try to get extra donations. People who could donate next year should give them now, and so forth. And Baruch Hashem, for a few years, we succeeded. It was the year before Sandy, and we weren't doing that well. And it was August 15th, 2 weeks before the end of our fiscal year, and I didn't know. I needed $600,000 just to break even, and according to my calculations, another $300,000 to be able to show the profit that I need to be able to qualify for the construction loan. But I had known about this Kafachaim, or I had seen this Kafachaim. I sent out a letter to 100 supporters, and I told them on August 31st at 7 o'clock we're having a dinner with Nishmas to celebrate our financial success. People thought I was a little bit out of my mind, but whatever. August 31st came, and I had not achieved the goal at all. I was still short the $900,000. Minimal pennies had come in those 2 weeks. I finished my shiur at 1:15, and I had until 4 o'clock to raise the money, and it didn't look good. The bank closed at 4 o'clock. By 4 o'clock, I had managed to get the $600,000 to break even, which was a miracle in itself, but I was 300 short, and I was very distraught. Anyway, I had to go to this gathering, to the Suda. As I walk in, someone hands me a sealed envelope. And the wild thought comes through my brain and says, even if there would be in the unlikely, ridiculous possibility that there was a $300,000 check in that envelope, it's too late. It has to be marked, deposited in the bank by the end of the fiscal year, which was August 31st. Too late for that. I open up the envelope, and lo and behold, I find a deposit slip. This individual had gone to our bank before 4 o'clock, before it closed, and deposited $300,000. Oy, did I say nishmas. There's such a power when we tell Hashem, Rabbeinu Shalom, we need a Yeshua. But I know that maybe one of the reasons that you don't want to bring the Yeshua right now is because as we're in trouble, we turn to you more. The minute that things resolve themselves, we're going to forget about you. The first week, maybe we'll say Hallel. The next week, we'll say half Hallel. The third week, we'll say Hoidu. The fourth week, we'll say Shkoyach. And it'll be all over. So therefore, you keep us in this difficult matzav. So we should constantly turn to you. Rabbeinu Shalom, I promise you that when you bring about the Yeshua, when you resolve our situation, then I am going to declare with nishmas in front of a minyan of people that I know it's you. I'm not going to forget. I'm not going to think that it was Kichiv Yitzim Yodi. I did it myself. I'm going to publicly declare that this is all from you, and it's all chesed from Hashem, and everything is chesed and rachamim. And that's a schus that Hashem says sometimes, I'm going to respond to that. So we have so many avenues to turn, and it's all about coming closer to Hashem. The Tehillim that we say is an amazing koyach. It's an inspiration to be tochein. The Tehillim does not make requests. We're not most of the Tehillim. There's very little requests. But it's the inspiration to be tochein that entitles us that our tefillos should be answered, whether it's for ourselves or for Klal Yisrael or for individuals. It's such a power. The Tehillim is such a power. And turning to Hashem and connecting with Hashem and relying on Hashem, that's really what all of the suffering is about. Klal Yisrael has gone through a long and bitter golus. It's close to 2,000 years. And we've had a great share of difficulty and suffering. But at the end, here we are. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has always saved us. He's always maintained us. And we continue to go, and will continue to go, at Bias Goyel Tzedek. It should happen b'mheiro b'yomeinu. Hashem should help in the schus of all the tefillos and the tilim and the connection that it forges with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We should be zoiche to see that geula b'koreif.